You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Hello, good afternoon. It's not even afternoon yet. I got a useless 11 a.m. start, man. We're here for another edition of Swoop's World Primetime. And where our guest today is going to be April Economides. We get a chance to talk to her about all the cool stuff she does. And, how's your day going?
Cool stuff's like right up our alley.
It is, man. It's all bikes.
Dark cool stuff. All bikes, man.
That's what we love and do.
So my day's going all right. I had a little groggy from last night.
But, great. Join the club.
Other than that, no problems.
Those of you who tune in that join us, no video stream today. We're not going to do the video today, but you can listen to us live on the video stream page or the listen live page, and we'll get that all worked out.
Yeah.
Last night was our first night on AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio.
That's right.
AM radio, man. We're on terrestrial radio.
Did you get any calls? Did we get in trouble?
Not that I know of yet.
Had some language issues.
Well, only a couple slipped by, but we did all right.
Did
all right.
We did pretty good, I gotta say, for how we normally do.
Exactly. Well, how many times are the amulets going about done?
Yeah.
All the planes in place?
Planes. There'll be another one in about half an hour. Should be good.
Well, I'll tell you what, you listen to Swoop's World on Talk Show Radio Network, where we're always interactive, live, and archived. We're going to take a quick break and come back and introduce our guests. How's that sound, man?
Sounds good.
What do you want to listen to, man?
Heart Pills. We haven't listened to them in a while.
Heart Pills.
You got them cued?
Yeah, if you keep talking, I'll bring them up.
All right. Heart Pills were good. They were here, not here, actually. They were calling.
Yeah, they were calling from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Eau Claire, right?
Eau Claire, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they were really good, and I want to think that was 6 months ago.
At least.
Really cool band.
Man, where are the Heart Pills?
Oh, man.
You know what? I have them somewhere,
but
I don't know if it's going to be quick to find, so you're going to have a backup plan. How about Delaney Simpson?
Sounds good.
Listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Show Radio Network. This is Delaney Simpson, and this is called Pathetic Girl. I'll be back after this.
Thinking, what's the reason for dealing with the pain I'm in? What's the reason? Look before you leap, they said I wouldn't listen. Stranger in the mirror, don't wanna see her again. I'm just a pathetic girl running from the world. Look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl. Leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. I've been wondering how to make it. escape from the life I live. How to make it happen? Crying's not a shame, they said. I don't believe them. Twisted thoughts in my head. That's where I'll keep them. I'm just a pathetic girl running from the world. Look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl. Leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light.
Back to Swoop Show Prime Time, and our guest today, we're happy to announce, is April Economides. How are you doing, April?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you kind of grew up and stuff, and how you got started in your business, and how you became such a big advocate of bicycling.
Well, I was actually born and raised in Long Beach, and have lived in, I don't know, about 8 other cities since then. San Francisco, D.C., etc. And moved back here in July 2010. And actually what prompted it was I was sitting in my apartment working from home. I started my company in 2003 in Long Beach, Green Octopus Consulting. It's a green business consultancy. Was living in San Francisco, couldn't have been happier. Everything was going great. And got these RFPs from the city of Long Beach in my inbox for from Bike Long Beach, the city's bike department. And long story short, found out in 3 days by making about 40 different calls that my hometown had had become much more bike friendly and had the nerve to put a sign up on City Hall declaring it the most bike friendly city in the nation, which of course I laughed at the first time I heard and now really respect, because it's a great goal and they're working toward it rapidly. And it holds the city leaders responsible. So, I mean, they're holding themselves responsible for that goal. So, it's pretty cool. So that's what brought me back.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, have you always kind of had that mentality of being green and riding your bike? And has that been a lifelong thing?
I did ride my bike to school about 3 miles at age 8. I was sort of a latchkey kid, so I would ride with my friend Ariel Passanisi, and loved it. And so, like most kids, rode my bike for fun and to school and, you know, for need and all that kind of stuff for a while. I've always been very sensitive to my urban environment. I love urban planning. And so I remember walking and riding and driving through Long Beach as a teenager and really not liking how car dominant Southern California was, which is why I left immediately and went to Santa Cruz and hung out in a redwood forest and studied there, right? Yeah. And then lived in San Francisco and other high density cities with great transport. So I did own a car for 2 years, high school and early college, and couldn't afford it. You know, as a full time college student working 2, sometimes 3 jobs. And There's that plane.
Yeah. They're early. They're supposed to be leaving about 15 minutes from now.
Anyway, so I couldn't afford it, so I had to sell it, and it was pretty much the best thing that ever happened to me. I started taking the bus, walked a lot, rode, and it really allowed me to see how navigating every day through those different forms of transportation made me happier,
yeah.
Connected me to a place instead of just whizzing by it,
mm-hmm.
and going through somewhere. I actually was present there. So that laid the foundation for how I connected transportation to my happiness and also to my environmental ethics. And to answer your question earlier, yes, I've always, well, I would say around age 16 is when I woke up and smelled the coffee about how we're connected to the environment. I read about transcendentalism in 11th grade. And Mary Blackburn, who used to run the El Dorado Nature Center, is the mom of a close friend of mine, Seth Blackburn. And Mary, we called her Mother Mary back then, she sort of became my mentor in high school. And Seth and I started the Wilson High Recycling Program.
Cool.
And so it just went off from there, and I studied and worked in the field ever since.
Very cool.
So then Green Octopus, what does that do exactly? You said it's a green environmental consulting business. Tell us a little bit about that.
So everyone asked me, why an octopus? And aside from the fact that I'm half Greek and we Greek people love octopi, when I was listing all of the different things I did when I was, you know, doing my business plan in 2003, I listed 8 things. I had been a Jill of all trades for a number of nonprofits, you know, event planning, marketing, writing, program management, etc. So that's where the octopus came from. At first, I worked primarily with business improvement districts as their marketing and communications consultant in place of a staff person. I also wrote a couple of museum exhibits that traveled the U.S. And a bunch of other fun things, all of which tied back into sustainable urban planning or other environmental things. And it wasn't until I moved back to Long Beach and Sumi Gant hired me to administer the Bike-Friendly Business District pilot program grant that I started working in bicycling, not just riding one
right.
as my transport, but
right.
yeah, working in that field.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
As now I know you're a mother, and kids have all kinds of things going on and stuff all over the world. How do you make that work with the bicycle and raising a daughter?
Well, thankfully it's been really easy. When Audrey, who's age 7, and I first moved back to Long Beach, as you guys probably know, the Long Beach Unified School District requires families to live within the area of a school. So that's great from my perspective, because you have parents and children who are able or more able to walk and bike to school. Anyway, so we lived, we chose a home close to her school, and then I was like, okay, we can walk there. That would take us about 15 minutes, but what kind of bike could we get? And I was very naive to family bikes. I only knew about trailers,
yeah.
Which is what we had when we lived in Claremont. And San Francisco was too hilly. We lived on top of a big hill. Yeah, so we didn't bike much there. Only I did sometimes. Anyway, so long story short, I think I just went on the internet and, you know, Googled family bikes and
uh-huh.
saw different options. Another friend of mine told me about the co-pilot or tag-along, which is what we bought,
mm-hmm.
And what we call our bike limo. So I have a 22-year-old, pretty rusted, unattractive Univega mountain bike named Bertha, and I bought a tag-along for $80, and it quickly attaches to my bike, and it's a wheel with a seat and handlebars for Audrey, and so she's able to pedal. And that's how we get around town. It's great.
I've literally taken that one, the one we have one as well, and on my bike, and I have a bike that's just the family bike, and it's called the Beast.
Right.
Everything attaches to it. By the time I get that thing loaded, forget my own weight. I've added about 150 or 60 pounds, and so we don't go anywhere fast, but we do go far. And we first, my son was on that. Now he's outgrown it. He has his own bike, and we have put. I think I've estimated we've put something like every year we do family riding, we put somewhere near 2,000 or 3,000 miles, just family rides. And then, of course, I do my own riding on top of that. So they're so versatile. They just totally free you up. You're now not limited to, you know, your child has a non-geared bike and only can go a couple miles before they're exhausted, right? Now you can go as far as you like or as little as you like. It's we love it. We've put a lot of miles on that. Yeah.
I was really impressed that you two rode here today. I didn't realize that you also are avid bicyclists.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people on Long Beach
as often as we can.
Yeah,
we
try to get out.
We try to get out, yeah.
He gets a lot more miles into that. we still have a lot of fun. Yeah.
But, you know, and so what you just said about riding a long way, it's interesting because when I occasionally rent a car and, you know, to go on a day trip or usually it's to go out of the city somewhere, mm-hmm. If Audrey's with me, half the time she pulls the "Are we there yet?" whine, right? But on our bike limo, never.
Yep.
She's singing. She's happy. If we haven't ridden for a week because we walk to school, it's
right.
A half block from our home now. She complains, "Mama, we haven't ridden our bike for so long. When are we going to ride?" And she can. I mean, we ride all the time to downtown
mm-hmm.
and back, and you know, around. It's great.
Yeah, we
love it.
They do. Yeah, and. I take my daughter to school every day, and we're just about a mile from the school, so we could easily walk that. But
she's walking.
And she never complains about walking it either. But if I give her a choice, she always wants to ride, and of course, I would prefer to ride to walk anytime because it's just more fun. But it's a great thing to get your kid into something like this early, and I tell people all the time, you can find those tag along ride alongs for. I've seen them at like used places for like as low as $40. They're so low maintenance, you know.
Yes, they are.
I mean, we've had ours for 10 years, and like I said, we put thousands of miles on it, and all I've ever had to do is replace a flat tire once. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're great.
That's true. Yeah, I've actually never had to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, since they don't have gears and they don't even have a front tire, they're really just oil the chain occasionally. They're low maintenance. It's a great way to get around and get your kid going, and then for those kids that are starting out, it's great to. Teach them balance and stuff. They get the feel for it. You know, it's been a blast.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about bicycle business districts. Tell us a little bit about. I remember when because I used to sit in some meetings with you
mm-hmm.
when Long Beach got started with it. But tell us a little bit of the background behind that and what you were able to do.
Well, whenever anyone asks me who thought up that idea, where did this get started, I always remind people that. Bicycle-friendly business districts started when the bicycle was invented. It wasn't really until the car became king that that our business districts became less pedestrian and bike-friendly. So as with so many things, what's old is new again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, green architecture, the first architecture, of course, was the greenest architecture. You know, and we could just go on and on naming that. You know,
right.
We're all trying to get, you know, organic food is just food. Right? Right? All food used to be organic food. So
right.
It's just interesting how these things work. So bike-friendly business districts are part of that reawakening of humans to how bicycling, you know, and walking into our local business districts is the best way to go for so many different reasons. Obviously for our health, obviously for clean air, but also for business. So many people I know in Long Beach, unfortunately, are really addicted to their cars to the point where if they need to pick up a gallon of milk 2 blocks away, they might drive.
That's crazy.
I was 16, I literally drove 2 blocks sometimes to pick up something at the store for my mom. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, you're
not
alone, though.
Yeah,
no.
That's
no.
Somebody's bleeding to death. It's not necessary to get anywhere that... It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but I understand.
To park
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah,
to get
yeah.
back, you could rid there and just off a road your bike
mm-hmm.
back.
That's right. But like so many different habits, I understand how, you know, people do that. And when you have something at the ready there. So if you have a bike at the ready, you have built-in exercise. And you don't have to, like you just said, look for parking. Lose your parking space, come home and have to find another one,
mm-hmm.
pay for
mm-hmm.
parking.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a pain, right? Really, a bike is often easier than
oh,
driving.
Yeah.
So that concept of a bike-friendly business district is when merchants, and I want to stress that it really is the merchants and the business associations themselves that understand how walking and bicycling benefits their business district and encourages people to bike there, to shop, dine, and run errands. Why is it better for their business district? The top concerns of almost all business owners and districts I know are attracting customers, increasing sales, and providing plentiful and free or cheap parking. So, unfortunately, with so many people hopping in their cars and going to out of our city to the Lakewood Mall, Westminster Mall, you know, strip malls across town, etc., a lot of them are missing the beauty of their own local business districts. So, you know, right here in Bixby Knowles, for example, we have, you know, children's art studios, yoga studios, shops, restaurants, new restaurants opening up all the time. I mean, you could just go on and on about all of the gems that are right there, you know, for Christmas shopping, all the cool little boutiques that are right there, the bike shops that are there, you know. So the Bixby Knowles Business Improvement Association, under the leadership of Blair and Krista and their board, are doing a great job, first of all, using bikes themselves to run their errands and get around. They water trees with their cargo bike. They paint over graffiti and then just get to and fro places. And then encouraging folks to just planting the seed to in folks' heads that, you know, don't forget about your bikes. You know, so they started the Kidokal Mass Rides because it's such a family-friendly area. So, and also when you get people to bike to an area, you've automatically opened up car parking spaces. So instead of having to build more car parking and take up spots for residents and all that kind of stuff, bike parking doesn't do that. And it's also free and right in front of the destination.
You know what I really enjoy when I'm riding my bike? I always discover something. And I'll say, how long has that place been there? Because I've driven by here a million times. Yeah. I've never seen that place. And I think especially for independent businesses, that's a big plus.
Huge.
Because, like you said, people get in their car and they're headed to what they know down the road, and they just blow past all these little independent shops. And, you know, unless you're out walking around or really making a destination or riding your bike by, even if you're going somewhere else, you actually see these things. And see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen some houses in my neighborhood that just, you know, just like the yards are just, I go, that's a beautiful front yard. I never noticed that. You know, just because they're either riding by or walking by.
And I think that's my favorite thing about riding a bike is you feel more connected to where you are, like literally the places you pass. Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful tree. Wow, that house is cool. Oh, I didn't know that business is there. Oh, look, a new restaurant opened up. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Nice to see you. I mean, you could just go on and on about, I mean, that's all very joyful.
Yeah.
And when you're in a car, I should speak for myself here, but I think a lot of folks can relate. Not only are you whizzing by so fast that you don't notice anything, but it's a little stressful. It can be a lot stressful. Oh, that driver in front of me is so slow, or, oh, gosh, that guy almost hit me, or, you know, or I hate this, you know, music station. I mean, just all the different things. It's interesting how people change when they are on a bike instead. Even our mayor, Bob Foster, said at a speech he was giving, I know, about a year ago, something like, I notice places I would have never noticed in my car. It makes me feel more connected to my city.
Yeah.
You know, Bob rides a lot every week. And so it's interesting how, so that's what a business district that is savvy, you know, understands. The more folks that they have on foot and on bike coming into and going through their district, the better for their businesses, the better for their car parking situation, and the safer it is for their neighborhood.
I know you've traveled a lot and you've looked at other business districts and you've looked at a lot of different places. What are the key elements? I know you mentioned a lot of things here, but some of the more successful ones that you've identified, this is a really successful bike-friendly business district, and this is, you know, this is one that's on up and coming. What are the things that the really successful ones are doing or have done, besides probably it's time-wise it's gone by, but what are some of the things that they have done that people should kind of key in on if they want to kind of create that in other places?
I always say that there's two sides to the coin. One is safe bike infrastructure, and the other side is what I help do through my bike-friendly business district work, which is help business associations attract folks into the district through their operations, events, and promotions. So there's a bunch of stuff that business associations can do, but then the other half falls on the city to create that safe infrastructure. Business associations have a really big influence on cities. So for those districts that say, hey, we want a bike lane here, we want that here, then cities, are much more likely to put that in.
Right.
So so on the infrastructure tip for just a moment, there are all sorts of different types of bike lanes you can put in. Separated lanes are the safest, especially for women and children, and getting folks who maybe haven't been on a bike for a while to ride again. But even a painted stripe can go a long way in welcoming a bicyclist. And then the other thing that cities can partner with business associations to do in terms of light infrastructure, which we're doing here in Long Beach, is providing bike parking via bike racks. Corrals make sense some places, sometimes
right.
They don't. Like everything, you have to be thoughtful about where you put something. Don't put a corral somewhere where it's not needed and it sits empty.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Long
I've
Beach.
Seen a couple of those.
Long Beach, under, I'm pretty sure Sumi's leadership, bought a ton of bike racks and gives them out for free to businesses requesting one.
Right.
Why is that important? Well, imagine as a car driver if you had no place to park.
Right.
That's how it is for me, and I guess you guys too, because
you're right. We've talked about that many times. especially certain businesses or certain like malls are notorious for this. Like, we'll put a bike rack in here. And then they put the bike rack around the corner, tucked into this dark place where bike thieves are like, free. And so it's like, do you really want to bring your... and park your bike there? No. So now you're like, well, there's no good place to park my bike
there.
So
yeah.
So either you do that, or you're just like, well, let's just take the car because I don't want it to worry. I don't want to be worrying about my bike getting ripped off or messed with. So
mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100%. Like having that in the front, visible, and that to me is also like I worked in the restaurant business for years. You know, when people come to the restaurant, the first seats you always put them in, if you have outdoor seating, you put them there. And if you don't, you put them in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people drive by and they see an empty restaurant, even if it's full, but they can't see anybody sitting in the front, then they're like, let's go somewhere where it's happening. It's the same thing with the bikes. You know, if you've got bikes parked there, other people are going to want to ride there. Also, hey, this is a busy place. Look at, there's people walking around. It's all of that.
It's very true.
Yeah.
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 So I think, so bike racks are a good example of something that are very inexpensive to purchase and install. So the average bike rack is about $200 to $300,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and that provides parking for two spaces. That is in sharp contrast to a parking space. If you average all of the different types of parking spaces that exist, parallel parking garages, et cetera, how much they cost to build and maintain throughout their lifetime, $15,000.
Wow.
Bike rack, $200 to $300 on average to purchase, lasts really long time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So so aside from safe bike lanes and bike parking, some of the things that a business association can do to encourage people is take their existing events and tie bicycling into them. Something as simple as ride your bike here, on their advertisements. Free bike valet through the Long Beach Bike Friendly Business District program. I hired Evan Patrick Kelly of the Hub to build bike valet racks for the districts, and they own them all now, so they can use them for their events.
Yeah.
And so what's a bike valet? It's just like a car valet. You roll up right in front of your event or store or wherever you're going, and there is a person manning it, takes your bike, gives you a ticket, and you're good to go. And you know that your super fancy roadie bike or whatever you have going on is going to be safe. So and then in terms of promotions, another simple thing that business improvement districts or other associations can do, as well as individual businesses, is on their website, if they say how to get here or where is their parking, don't just focus on cars. Talk about how people can get there by bike and put it on top. List it first. Here are the bike routes. We have free bike racks. Here's how to get here by bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of, there's so many different things that folks can do. In Long Beach, Sharif Mustafa is a photographer and offered to take folks photos for free, a photo of them and their bike, and email it to them for free at a lot of our business district events. So we did that in all of the districts. That was a really neat community building art exercise. Yeah, there's all sorts of things where if a business, the key is for them to look at, a district to look at their existing promotions and events and operations and just weave them in, because that's the least amount of work, the least amount of money. Some things I mentioned are free, and most of them are very low cost.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we
do need to go to a quick break. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and do some things. You'll see the Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. And our guest today is April Economides, and we're happy to have her here. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back after this. What do you want to listen to here?
I don't know. My last one you didn't have.
I know, man. Well, it kind of works that way.
Hesitant.
There's
always Blue Christmas.
There's always Blue Christmas. For some reason. Oh, there we go. Let's move this around here. We do have Blue Christmas keyed up. I know that because I keyed it up for yesterday. And I don't know if we played. Did we play it last night?
Mm-hmm.
We did, so that it's still there. Now you're asking me to find it. Ah, there it is. Blue Christmas, Channel 3. Back after this.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Michelle Mangione. You're listening to Swoops World Radio. I listen to it just because I love it so much.
Gosh, I had no idea that you started the Blackbird
campaign. No, no, no. Yeah, no, it was something else.
At a railroad station in Baton Rouge, there's a train to Crescent City. Urban Street keeps calling him back to a Cajun girl so.
Welcome back to Swoops World, the Talk Story Radio Network. We're always interactive, live, and archived. Let me tell you about a couple of good friends of ours real quick. Powerhouse Fitness, our good friend Jack Nunn. If you want to get any of your fitness needs met, that's the place to be. He's got personal training, indoor rowing, boot camp, what do we have? Zumba, spin classes, and much, much more. He's got two locations in Long Beach, 5750 Boathouse Lane, 1347 Loma Street. Website is www.powerhousefit.com or give him a call, 562-688-1716. If you let him know Swoops World sent you, you get your first week for free. SoCal Mobile Detailing and Spa, where Brandon Williams goes after the dirt, cars, trucks, SUVs, and boats, you name it, and he will come to you anywhere in the Southern California area. Exterior wash and wax, full detail, interior detail, you name it, best prices in town. You can give him a call at 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121 or send him an email at so.calmvs@gmail.com. We're here with our guest, April Economides, and welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to mention just something I heard a while back. You had mentioned the lanes and the separate lanes are more safe for women and children. I was listening to a podcast that was they were based in Amsterdam, I believe, mm-hmm. About a year ago, and there had been a study done on the safety of bicyclists with drivers, and they said women and children and bicyclists who weren't all geared up, the drivers took more caution when mm-hmm. they were approaching them because they figured that they weren't as savvy on a bike.
Right.
Even a novice who was all geared up with the lycra and everything, the drivers tend to be closer to them, pass them faster, and things like that. So this guy's suggestion was, I don't care how good you are, just, don't get all geared up, and you probably got a safer ride in their area, which was, I thought, was an interesting study.
That is interesting, yeah. Yeah, no, and I mean, certainly there are many gutsy and geared up women, you know, when I'm on my single speed zipping through the city, yeah. You know, I ride differently than if I'm on my bike limo with Audrey. And and my point there, of course, is that we need to be designing bike lanes for the least experienced riders, not the most.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. A couple things that I wanted to mention about what we did in Long Beach and are doing in other cities for bike friendly business districts. We started an informal bike share system. And what that means is in each of the four districts in Long Beach, they were given one cargo bike and between two and four regular bikes. And every district's using them differently. In the East Village Arts District, Prom Rye, the owner of Wawa Restaurant, shares a bike with Clay, the owner of Clay on First, a pottery store.
Yeah, exactly.
And Clay rides frequently now and said that he hadn't ridden in decades. And that was a really neat story. I said, so how's the bike going, Clay? He said, it's great. You know, I hadn't ridden in decades. I'm riding all the time now. It's like, oh, it's great. What do you use it for? I write, and he said that he rides it across the East Village to grab lunch at places he normally wouldn't get to because it would take too far to walk, you know, and he has to run a business.
Yeah.
And if he were to drive, he would give up his parking space, have to find another one, come back, his parking space would be gone. But the bike is the most practical and quickest and easiest thing for him to use. He also will go to the store to pick up some milk. He'll go over to Line Art Supply to pick up art supplies. So he is supporting the businesses within his own district and getting around. He's doing it because it's easy, it's quick, and it's a lot of fun, and now he's riding again. Prom Rye of Wawa offers takeout, but now he can also deliver with a bike. For all the reasons I just mentioned, a car doesn't make sense for him.
Right.
A bike does. So that's opened new revenue for him. So there are many examples of how business owners in Long Beach and outside of Long Beach, from San Diego to New York to you name it, are using bikes as part of their everyday business operations, whether it's for deliveries, to get to and from work, et cetera. My cousins own George's Greek Cafe, and their restaurant in downtown on Pine, they deliver via bike.
And they've been delivering via bike for a long time.
More than 10 years.
Yeah. I used to see them. I used to live in that end of town, riding around delivering a lot.
Yeah, and it's not because they're out to, you know, save the environment. What motivated it, and, you know, maybe they are in some ways, but what motivated it is that it's practical.
Mm-hmm.
It's efficient.
It's a low-tech solution to a problem, you know, that they have. That, yeah, density. And it's
speaking like an old bicycle messenger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
nice
I did
one.
That briefly in D.C. That
uh-huh.
was,
after the show, I want to hear some stories about that. And then another thing that we did in Long Beach is we offered free bike repairs. So I hired, again, Evan and his crew from the Hub to set up at folks' festivals in the East Village and elsewhere and offer free bike repairs. People would come with our flyers that we delivered to their front doorsteps within a mile radius of the event, with our flyers in hand saying, hey, we heard you have a free bike repair. And, you know, parents with their kids. Really neat. And then the clinics we held inside the bike shops. So Graham Baden and his crew at the workshop and the guys at City Ground, they did the bike repairs in their districts. They did it because they're just good guys. But quite by accident, a nice result was that they got new customers and made sales.
Sure.
People would be getting their bikes fixed for free and go, oh, you know, I need to buy a helmet or I need to buy some lights.
Everybody knows that I know, like, knows that I ride. And so I'm always getting, I got a bike in the garage. Could you look at it? And, you know, sometimes it's just like grease and truing a wheel. And I could see where this would be perfect. You know, is you get these people who are like, they got a bike in a garage. Everybody has a bike in a garage, and some of them aren't using it. If they had a cheap, easy way to at least get it moving again, they'll use it more. And again, like you said, it'll lead to customers. It'll lead to more people riding. But then it makes sense. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah. Actually, that is exactly why we did it, just to get those dusty, rusty bikes out of their garage. Usually just a little fix they need.
Yeah.
And voila. They're good to go.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because I just mentioned to someone the other day that I see more, not necessarily vintage, but more older bikes on the road now. I mean, whether it's just people just kind of cruising along in an old beach cruiser,
right,
or just you know, a lot of older bikes. And I'm not talking about, you know, I know a lot of them are new and then they kind of look old, but I'm talking old rusty bikes that people are out riding. You know, they got them going again, and just out for a ride.
And that's the great thing about bikes, is they really are such a simple machine that if you can't fix it yourself, it's really cheap to get fixed. And then maintenance is really just low tech. If you just do some simple things, they'll last forever, and which you can't say about a car, you know.
That's very true. I mean, so people always assume I must have a big fancy bike. Well, I laugh. I mean, so I have, you know, as I mentioned, Bertha, 22-year-old mountain bike, which tows Audrey's, you know, tag along, and then John Maxwell, the head mechanic at Jones Bicycle Shop, took pity on me when I first moved here and needed a bike to literally get around, and gave me one of his old cruisers that he had at home. He fixed it up for me, and it's a step through 1979 Monterey cruiser. That's my bike.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do have, you know, the very low cost single speed where I zip around. But you do not need a lot of money to ride.
Yeah.
And like you said, maintenance is practically, I mean, free.
Yeah, if you go with a bike without gears, it's even cheaper, because now you're not having to get those, you know, gears adjusted with a tune-up every 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is you're doing. Yeah, I mean, the gearless bikes are even, you know, obviously you got some hills to contend with possibly, but, you know, that's an even cheaper way to go. Those things last forever.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really neat that a lot more people are rediscovering this, that bikes are such an easy, low-maintenance, cheap way to get around. And the fact that business owners and business association leaders are starting to realize that. And then, you know, in San Diego, what I mentioned, what I described is what we did in Long Beach, but bike-friendly business districts are starting all over the U.S. and Canada and elsewhere. And in San Diego, I was hired to get that program off the ground. They have 18 business improvement districts there, and we rolled it out into all 18 districts. The team down there that's leading that are exceptional people, the head of the Bike Coalition, the head of the Bid Council. So the benefit of working outside the government is you can, you know, of course, work much quicker, and, you know, there's just not bureaucracy to contend with. So for a little bit of money, they're doing a lot of work down there. They bought a bike for every business district, so 18 bikes, and those bid leaders ride that around in place of their car for errands. They already put up street pole banners, and so now they're going to make them bike-focused about a quarter of the year. They're creating a phone app, T-shirts. They're raffling off free bikes and helmets, holding safety 101 trainings, just doing a bunch of stuff. In New York, they created new events like date nights with discounted dinner and a show. cool. In Oakville, Ontario. They heard about Bixby Knoll's critical mass ride, so then they held one. I mean, people are doing neat things all over the place. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
You know, I was wondering, I remember when in the bike share program, and we were at Portfolio, and somebody brought, some company brought all those different bikes to look at and test out and stuff. And I thought some of those cargo bikes were really cool. Did, how many of the districts actually took the cargo bike? I know the bikes that I've seen, I think, are still part of the same program, like over by Berlin. It's kind of like a regular bike with a basket in front. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering if any of the districts actually took the cargo bikes.
Well, actually, that was the one thing that the city wrote into the grant that the districts had to do. SUMI did a great job of not building into the grant a prescribed list of what the districts had to do, because she understood that the districts know their districts better than anyone, didn't want to make it super top down. But per grant requirements, they did have to put one thing in. So they each had to get a cargo bike. Oh. What you saw in front of Portfolio was Flying Pigeon of Los Angeles, which is the nearest place to Long Beach that sells cargo bikes, came down and showed all of their different options.
Mm-hmm. Those are my phone.
Oh yeah, cool. And so each district actually got the same bike, a Christiania, which is actually has three wheels, so it's easier to balance on, and the big box is in front. And they are being used to different success rates. And I think it's because, again, they had to use it instead of chose to. They're big to store.
Right.
So for a district to store it can be tricky, and to use it, sometimes the use isn't super, there's not a lot of like demand for heavy use. Examples of how they're being used really well, they immediately rode them in parades, which was awesome. So like the districts came together, for example, for the Pride Parade the first year, and it was really bonding and fun, and it's a rolling marketing tool. They branded all of them.
Yeah.
So that's a definite benefit that they get when it's ridden. Bixby Knoll's is, from what I understand, probably using it the most and getting the most creative with it. They're also the only district that has paid staff for a bid, or BIA. But anyway, they are using it, as I mentioned, to water trees, to paint over, to carry their anti-graffiti equipment and paint over that. For their critical mass rides, one of them will ride the cargo bike with tubes and other things if someone gets a flat, some other districts have used it for some customer deliveries. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
See them used in New York more,
yeah,
because it's high density. It's harder to drive there. I've seen like a dry cleaning cargo bike.
Really?
All sorts of neat uses.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I think that's a growing trend.
It was, you know, I told Peter, I think it was last week, that I say starting to, I've seen two, but I hadn't seen any before. See individuals with cargo bikes out there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend Hobie has been riding one for a long time with his kids in it. Michael Bau, who made the great movie Riding Bikes with the Dutch,
yeah,
rides around with his kids. You see, and then there's this woman, I don't know her, but zips up and down 2nd Street on the Sheroes with her kids in there. So you see them used a lot for families. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
April, I know we try to cover a lot of things. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to talk about yet?
Well, I guess we should talk about how Long Beach is getting a bike share program.
Yes.
Yeah, so the city's been wanting to bring this to the community for a long time. They are hiring Bike Nation to do it, a bike share company based in Tustin. Bike Nation hired me as the general manager of the bike share program. Any day now, our contract will be signed with the city, and I'll have a tall glass of champagne and get busy working on putting the plan together for that. We hope to roll out in the spring, and we're going to roll out in phases, starting in downtown. So, which is, of course, where most tourists are, where a lot of economic activity is, density, etc. So we'll roll out in downtown and in phases throughout the city. after that. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, now, so for our listeners who are, maybe aren't familiar exactly what a bike share program is, tell them a little bit about that.
Sure. So I think there are now over 90 bike share, formal bike share systems around the world, the one in Paris being the most famous. And it's basically you walk up to a station with about 10 or more bikes in a row that are locked into a dock. And you walk up to sort of what looks like an ATM, and you, with your credit card, rent a bike. And you check out a bike. And you can, these are step-throughs that can be ridden by, you know, men or women. You have to be over usually 16 years of age. And it's low cost. It's typically between, depending on the city, $6 to $10 to rent a bike, and then free if you use it under 30 minutes. So you can, for example, a tourist can check one out in downtown Long Beach and ride to Retro Row, check it in there. That is only, you know, a 15-minute or less ride, so that ride would have only been that flat, you know, $7, whatever that they're going to be paying. Then they go, oh, you know, I feel like eating in Belmont Shore, so they check out a bike, and they ride to Belmont Shore under 30 minutes free. That flat rate is for the day. And then they go back to their hotel. So for $7 or whatever bucks, you know, they have gone to at least 3 business districts, all via bike.
Now, how many bikes are we hoping to see in Long Beach?
Bike Nation said that it will install up to 2,500 bikes at up to 250 stations.
Wow.
Nice.
That'd be
nice.
Great.
Now, these bikes, I was watching something recently, and there was... they did a special local news on a company that was providing those types of bikes for share programs. And their bikes, you don't have to pump up the tires. They're solid tires. And the guy was showing these bikes, and they just looked like they were just almost indestructible. And they said it was still a nice, smooth ride. Is that the type of bike we're talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they have to be very sturdy bikes. And so Bike Nation... has designed a second-gen, actually, bike with airless tires, smooth riding. It's a great ride, but also it has neat perks like built-in GPS. So you can go onto a dashboard on your computer and record how far you've ridden, how many calories you've burned, how many greenhouse gas emissions you have not created. So bike share bikes are getting better and better with each new generation.
And where's the first station going to be?
We are going to roll out first in downtown.
Okay.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. I'd like to ride my bike over, lock it up, and check one of those out.
Please do.
That's a great concept.
What is the, you know, besides the bike share program, what do you see, you know, 5-10 years down the road for Long Beach
in general? What I would like to see, one of my biggest priorities, is to see more kids on bikes and more parents. Audrey and I, excuse me, live a half a block from her elementary school, and there are a line of cars every morning, you know, spewing emissions with kids piling out, and... if parents are, you know, being honest and living within the neighborhood like they're supposed to, that means they're all within walking or biking distance.
Yeah.
And I would really love to see more parents and kids walking or biking to school. It's built-in exercise, fresh air, and joy. I mean, it's just so great for kids, and it's so great for parents. And I feel, I mean, it really is just, you get like 20 things in one. So I would really like to see that, because that is not only getting a lot of parents on bikes, but it's training the next generation.
Right.
I wish that bike shares could accommodate kids too. I mean, that is something that will be really neat to see with how that evolves.
Yeah, we tried to. We were in D.C. took the kids there as our summer vacation, and when I lived in D.C., whatever, 15 years before that, they didn't have anything. It actually was a really dangerous place to ride your bike. And I was amazed at just how many people there were. But we tried to use the bike shares, and there was just no way, because my daughter's 7, there was no way we could do it. And even my son wasn't technically old enough because he was 12. He's big enough, but not old enough. And that would be, because we would have used it. We used the Metro the whole time we were there. I think we took a cab once when it was raining. And we'd have, if there had been something to accommodate my daughter especially, we would have used that and gone everywhere. You know,
yeah.
Been down to the mall and all the monuments and all that. So that, I would like to see that too. I think that would be a great addition.
Yeah, I also think it'd be so cool if a family bike shop opened up, or if some of the existing shops sold more family bikes. So Jax does a really good job of selling. I think from what I've seen, they have the most amount of family additions,
yeah.
Trailers, etc.
That's where I got mine, yeah.
I would love to see a huge advertising campaign for back to school,
yeah.
Encouraging parents to buy the wide variety of bike, you know, add-ons that are available, and start the school year off right,
yeah.
Biking to school. I think that could be a really neat thing for our city, which is very family oriented. There are a lot
right.
of families that
yeah,
live here,
yeah.
So I'd say that's really important.
You know, I think two notes on that. Yeah, two notes on that. I have to admit that I do see more, especially at the elementary level, more parents walking or biking their kids to school today than they did when my kids were in elementary school.
Okay.
It just seems, you know, maybe it's a different, you know, a different neighborhood now and stuff like
right.
that, but it just seems like there's more people that I see, especially where your kids go to school.
Yeah.
There's just tons of people walking their kids, and I see, you know, people on bikes pulling up there a few times I was there in the daytime, early morning time and afternoon time. What I really would like to see too, and I know this is not a Long Beach thing, this is a whole metro thing, is a better way to get bikes on like the Blue Line and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Because there's times where I would love to, you know, take the Blue Line and get up to the Red Line and maybe head up to Universal Studios and with my bike. But you know, it's such a, you know, such limited space.
Right.
You got to
worry
kind of stand
how busy is it
going to
be.
And,
yeah.
It's just, and certain times of day you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
I would love to see at least our mass, what do you call it, transit situation kind of change that and make that a little bit more bike friendly.
I agree. I think they did change the rule. I'm pretty darn sure we can now take bikes on the entire time
all right.
it's opened.
That's good.
I hope so. I do. I often take the Blue Line with my bike. I agree that more space is needed. They did a better job on the Red Line with that. So every time they design a new train, it's getting better. I would really like to see our stations patrolled more because it is sometimes unsafe. Obviously, someone just got shot 2 weeks ago on there. And it's often unpleasant. And there are so many working families that take that. You know, I see moms and their kids that have to listen to people cussing. And people deserve a safe and pleasant ride. So I would really like to see the city work with Metro and work with the Sheriff's Department to make that safe for working class folks and all the different people who ride that. So I completely agree. And also that's going to help with our short trips. I mean, so one of the main goals of the City of Long Beach and me personally is to increase bicycling trips for those short trips from home to the business district, from home to school, from home to work, anywhere where someone needs to get in, like, let's say 2 miles or less. That's the perfect riding distance, as you guys know. And that will really help our local economy and our community. So if someone listening wants to ride more and doesn't quite know where to start, if you already have a bike, I would really suggest taking a fun, you know, weekend jaunt, even just into your local district. Anytime you want to go somewhere short distance and that you would normally drive, try biking there instead.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to change our city the most.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, April, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been really fun.
All the cool stuff that you do, and it's, you know, it, we all, you know, we always talk about things people do and whether or not it makes a difference. But what you do truly does make a difference, you know, because when you look at the big overall picture, whether it's the pollution factor, the health factor, the fun factor of it all, you know, just making things a little bit more friendly for those of us who love the bike. And I think more people would come back to biking if they saw things were a lot easier and more friendly for those things. Like we talked about it before, you know, it's a matter of bike racks. I mean, yeah, I mean, the times that I've locked my bike to a foam pole or a meter or a tree just got old, you know? Yeah. And so now with all the racks there, it's much more appealing to do things like that.
Well, I just, you know, tip my hat to our city leadership who had the vision to do this and to attract people like me back to our hometown who now feel like we want to live here again because it's more environmentally responsible and easier to get around, and to people like Mark Bixby who inspired them.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much. You're listening to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Next week on Late Night, Anthony Davis, former USC football star, will be our guest. And next week on Primetime, we're not scheduled to guest, so I guess Peter and I will be talking about biking.
Imagine that.
and for those of you who don't know, Peter has a book, a published book called Where to Bike Orange County. Tell us a little about that before we get off the air.
So Where to Bike Orange County says the 50 best rides down in Orange County for adults and 30 rides that rides for just kids. And lots of every ride gives you a guide and tells you what comes with a map. Lots of great photos, and gives you like ideas for side trips or points of interest to see along the way, so you can make a whole day of it, or let you also know that this is a great commuter type of ride. So it's a kind of all encompassing.
This is a truly outstanding book.
Oh, thank you. That's a good concept.
He did a great job with that, and they did a great job with the on their end, the publishers.
Yeah, the publishers they committed, and they eventually they'll have 50 of these books. Throughout the U.S., different cities. So it's the way of the future.
Excellent. All right. Well, and until next week, have a safe, wonderful weekend. And as we always say, get on your bike and ride. Huh?
That's right.
Good day, y'all.
Good day.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.